Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 17th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Because Jupiter's so big, it was able to attract lots of different things to it.
Clouds really reflect where air masses are being cooled, and that tends to be where they're being lifted up.
In Haiti in particular, there was no access to roads for quite a long period of time after the earthquakes, so it was very difficult to determine where were people congregating.
This week, we'll tell you how Google Earth is helping during natural disasters and why clouds have distinct borders. Also, astronomers have discovered a solar system similar to our own, and the moon appears to be shrinking. But first, Suzanne Bard spoke with a NASA physicist about plans for exploring the moons of Jupiter.
If you go outside and look at the night sky this month, you'll notice something unusual. The brightest star in the sky right now isn't actually a star, it's Jupiter. At a mere 368 million miles away, it's the closest it's been to Earth since the 1960s. The gas giant is the largest planet in our solar system.
Jupiter's pretty big. It's about 11 Earth diameters in size. You can fit about 1,000 Earths inside of it. It's huge. There's nothing bigger around.
That's physicist Betsy Pugel of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. She says at this size, it's not surprising that Jupiter has a whopping 63 moons.
And we keep discovering more. Because Jupiter's so big, it was able to attract lots of different things to it. It's very attractive.
These moons range widely in size and composition.
They look very, very different from one another. Io has lots of volcanoes on it, and those volcanoes shoot plumes out, you know, several hundreds of kilometers. In contrast, there's Europa, and Europa is just pristine. It's got a very smooth, icy surface. And what's interesting about Europa is that we believe that there may be an ocean underneath the ice, an ocean of water. So part of the thing that people are interested in exploring is, you know, the possibility of life out at Europa.
Pugel is part of a team that's designing instruments to measure the chemical composition of these moons' atmospheres.
We have to make sure that the things that we build can withstand all the changes in coming so close to the sun and going so far away from the sun, all the way out to where Jupiter is. There are huge temperature changes associated with that, and all the electronics have to stay alive. There's also radiation along the way.
She says designing the instruments requires wearing several different hats.
My role is interesting. I am a shepherd to one of the instruments, and I bridge the gap between the scientist's ideal world and the engineering reality. So what you can build, what's realistic to build, what can survive going all the way out there. I mean, we go out to Venus, we catapult ourselves around Earth two times, and then we shoot over to Jupiter. And that whole process of interplanetary travel takes 5 years. There are lots of things that at the engineering side you have to factor into to help make the science reality come true. You need to know something about chemistry. You need to know something about electrical engineering, thermal engineering. There's, you know, lots of physics involved. There's lots of planetary science involved. It's very interdisciplinary, the role that I play.
Pugel says Jupiter will come closest to the Earth on September 20th. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere and go outside about an hour after sunset, you should be able to see it if you face east. In the early morning before dawn, it's visible in the west. With powerful binoculars or a backyard telescope, you may even be able to catch sight of some of the moons, which will appear as small specks.
Thanks, Suzanne. Speaking of other planets, scientists have discovered hundreds of planets beyond our solar system. But now, researchers using the European Southern Observatory's HARPS telescope have found a solar system that's nearly as planet-packed as ours. University of Geneva astrophysicist Christoph Lovis says that star HD 1080, 127 light-years away, is orbited by at least 5 Neptune-sized planets, and probably 2 more tiny ones.
And we have 5 of them in a compact configuration close to the star. And this is also kind of unexpected to find so many planets so close to the star.
Lovis says there's no Earth-like candidate for life there because none of the planets are the right distance from their sun. But only the latest technology made it possible to detect these modest-sized planets at all. Now his team hopes to start mapping hundreds of other solar systems to figure out just how typical ours is.
And once we have a sufficient sample, we'll be able to tell, okay, our solar system is typical or is not typical. So we'll be able to really compare.
Next, Suzanne has some news about the moon.
You may not have noticed, but in the past billion years, the moon has done some slimming down. Astronomers from the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum and the Carnegie Institute analyzed high-resolution images from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. They report in the journal Science that as the moon has cooled over time, its outer crust has contracted, which shows up as wrinkly-looking cliffs in the photographs.
Thanks, Suzanne. Google Maps is a popular tool for finding an address and getting directions. Google Earth is the 3D spinning globe version you can download. Eric Kolb is a geologist working at Google. He says that increasingly, the tool is being used to help relief efforts when disasters strike in remote areas, like parts of Haiti.
Well, in Haiti in particular, there was no access to roads for quite a long period of time after the earthquakes, so it was very difficult to determine where were people congregating. And so with the imagery data that we were able to provide, we were able to pinpoint exactly where the refugees essentially were staying and trying to get shelter. And so it allowed the emergency response teams to go directly to where the people were.
The images come from NASA satellites. Google Earth provides a user-friendly way to view and use them. Most recently, they've teamed up to help relief workers find flooded villages and refugees in Pakistan. Next, Suzanne answers a listener's question about clouds.
Listener Dieter Dyke wrote to ask why water droplets form clouds with very defined edges instead of just being dispersed in the atmosphere. We consulted University of Washington atmospheric scientist Robert Wood. He says clouds form when the concentration of water vapor in the atmosphere exceeds a certain threshold.
But they tend to form in localized patches because where water vapor exceeds this threshold tends to occur locally, and that tends to occur where air is being cooled, and air is cooled by raising it up, by lifting it. So clouds really reflect where air masses are being cooled, and that tends to be where they're being lifted up. And so that's why you tend to get sharp edges to clouds, because sharp edges are the edges of the motions that cause those clouds to form.
And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. If we answer your question on the show, we'll send you a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of exciting science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.